Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel of Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and still recording in the North Georgia mountains on Lake Blue Ridge, looking right out at Lake Blue Ridge. You guys always get to see what's behind me, but you don't always get to see what my view is as I'm talking to you. I'll show you again. I did this the other day, but I'll show you again just so you can see what my view is while I'm talking to you. And that is the water, the boats, the lake, the trees. So it's a beautiful place. Now, by the time you're watching this, I'm at General Assembly in Birmingham, Alabama, which is our big annual church meeting. And it's important. I would appreciate you praying for General Assembly this week. So this releases on Wednesday, if you're following along with us on the day by day. So Wednesday and Thursday are the two big business days at General Assembly, and would very much appreciate your prayers today and tomorrow for the work of the church of the PCA. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into Leviticus 22 today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a glorious morning. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for loving us with a love that is unconquerable and full of glory in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, we pray that you would bless and keep us today. Help us to love you. Help us to live for you. We do pray for the work of the PCA's General Assembly, the 49th General Assembly. Father, we pray that it would be glorifying to you and profitable to your church, and that we would be faithful to your calling. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Leviticus chapter 22. After this, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, so that they abstain from the holy things of the people of Israel, which they dedicate to me, so that they do not profane my holy name. I am the Lord. Say to them, if any one of all your offspring throughout your generations approaches the holy things that the people of Israel dedicate to the Lord while he has an uncleanness, that person shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. None of the offspring of Aaron who has a leprous disease or a discharge may eat of the holy things until he is clean. Whoever touches anything that is unclean through contact with the dead, or a man who has an emission of semen, or whoever touches a swarming thing by which he may be made unclean, or a person from whom he may take uncleanness, whatever that uncleanness may be, the person who touches such a thing shall be unclean until the evening, and shall not eat of the holy things unless he has bathed his body in water. When the sun goes down, he shall be clean, and afterward he may eat of the holy things, because they are his food. He shall not eat what dies of itself, or what is torn by beasts, and so make himself unclean by it. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep my charge, lest they bear sin for it, and die thereby when they profane it. I am the Lord who sanctifies them. A lay person shall not eat of a holy thing. No foreign guest of the priest or hired worker shall eat of a holy thing. But if a priest buys a slave as his property for money, the slave may eat of it, and anyone born in his house may eat of his food. If a priest's daughter marries a layman, she shall not eat of the contribution of the holy things. But if a priest's daughter is widowed or divorced and has no child and returns to her father's house as in her youth, she may eat of her father's food, yet no lay person shall eat of it. And if anyone eats of a holy thing unintentionally, he shall add the fifth of its value to it, and give the holy thing to the priest. They shall not profane the holy things of the people of Israel, which they contribute to the Lord, and so cause them to bear iniquity and guilt by eating of their holy things, for I am the Lord who sanctifies them." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, and all the people of Israel, and say to them, when any one of the house of Israel or of the sojourners in Israel presents a burnt offering as his offering for any of their vows or free will offerings that they offer to the Lord, it is to be accepted for you. If it is to be accepted for you, it shall be a male without blemish of the bulls or the sheep or the goats. You shall not offer anything that has a blemish, for it will not be acceptable to you, for you. And when anyone offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord, to fulfill a vow, or as a freewill offering from the herd, or from the flock, to be accepted, it must be perfect. There shall be no blemish in it. Animals blind or disabled or mutilated or having a discharge or an itch or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord or give them to the Lord as an offering on the altar. You may present a bull or a lamb that has a part too long or too short for a freewill offering, but for a vow offering, it cannot be accepted. Any animal that has its testicles bruised or crushed or torn or cut, you shall not offer to the Lord. You shall not do it within your land, neither shall you offer as the bread of your God any such animals gotten from a foreigner, since there is a blemish in them because of their mutilation. They will not be accepted for you. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when an ox or sheep is born, it shall remain 7 days with its mother, and from the eighth day it shall be, from the eighth day on, it shall be acceptable as a food offering to the Lord. But you shall not kill an ox or a sheep or her young in 1 day. And when you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten on the same day. You shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. And you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. You see that repeated refrain again. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Throughout the book of Leviticus, throughout this Mosaic law of worship, of right worship, we call it the ceremonial law, or the ceremonial aspect of the law. And sometimes I think that's a little bit reductionistic because it makes it sound like, well, it's just about ceremonies. And we tend to be very dismissive about ceremonies in our sort of modern Western mindset. But it's not about that. It's really about what right worship looked like, what gospel worship looked like, because in their worship, God had given the people of Israel pictures of the gospel, to show them Jesus, to show them their need for forgiveness, to show them the holiness of God. So we have this requirement that any of the priests who's going to approach the holy things of the people of Israel dedicated to the Lord, that he can't do so while he has any sort of uncleanness. We saw earlier that any priest who's born with a major deformity, that he was not to minister in the tabernacle, later in the temple. He was not to be participating at the altar, although he could eat the food because he was still a priest, so God was graciously providing for them. But the reason for this is that before the eyes of the people, priests stand in a covenant mediator position. So priests stand between God and his people as covenant mediators. And so to the people, they represent God. They're supposed to speak God's law. The Levites had a particular responsibility to teach the law within the tabernacle temple area. They are pronouncing God's blessing on God's people. When we get to number 6, we'll linger a little bit on the blessing that God gave to Aaron and his sons to pronounce on the people of Israel. So they represent God to the people. They are mediators. The only covenant mediator now is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is but one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And so pastors today, or elders today, or ministers today, whatever right term you want to use, biblical term, are not priests in a way different from the rest of God's people. So that's very important. So when the pastor stands up front and is preaching God's word or is pronouncing the blessing on God's people, we are not up front as representative Well, we are as representatives of God, but we are not God to the people. We're not covenant mediators. That's the word I'm looking for. So we are representatives. We are ambassadors. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. So it's a very sober and a very high calling, but we're not mediators. We're not covenant mediators. Only Christ is that covenant mediator, and then all believers are priests. So believers to the world have a mediatorial role. We can pray for other people. We can share the gospel with other people. We are called to be ambassadors to other people. And so we have a call to intercession as part of our prayer life for the world. So this picture of being holy, of being set apart, is that you don't want before the people someone who represents God, who's standing between God and the people, who is unclean, who is flawed, who is, you know, either been disobedient to God's laws, or who has just been defiled because he's come into contact with the dead, or, you know, whatever. So he needs to be clean. And there's provision made for very quickly. If you touch an unclean thing, you're just unclean until the evening, and then you bathe your body in water, and when the sun has gone down, you shall be clean. Some people have said, you know, the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told, that the priest had a good reason to not want to go over to the body because he didn't want to be unclean, because then he couldn't eat of the food. He wouldn't be able to eat his meat if he got home. Well, all he would have to do is wait until evening and bathe his body in water, and then he would be clean. And surely it was worth that small inconvenience to check on a man's life. So they are holy. So number one picture that God is always giving his people through worship is of his own character, that we might know him. And the core thing that God wants us to know about him is that he is holy. Around his throne, the four living creatures cry out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Number two thing he wants us to see is our need, our guilt, our defilement, our uncleanness. So there are lots of laws that put God's people in a constant state of needing sacrifice, of needing intercession, of needing cleanliness, because God wants us to see our need. And then the third thing, we see God's holiness, we see our need, our uncleanness, our guilt, our defilement. Then we see the picture of the covenant mediator, the high priest and great sacrifice, who reconciles us to a holy God by appeasing the wrath of the holy God as a propitiation and by covering our uncleanness as an expiation. So this is what's behind so many of these things. There's also a practical bit of provision being made. So normally if the daughter of a priest grows up and marries someone who's not a priest, she could marry another Israelite, another believer within God's people, but someone who's not a priest, she would be taken out of that tribe, out of that family, and she wouldn't have access to the priestly things. But verse 13 provides that if a priest's daughter is widowed or divorced and has no child and returns to her father's house as in her youth, she may eat of her father's food. So it's a practical provision for women who are left, who would otherwise be left destitute. Because if you have no child and you have no husband and you're a woman in the ancient world, you're basically left destitute. And so she would move back home to her father's house, come under his protection, and have a right to eat of the holy things. This is a picture of covenant household protection, by the way. It's not directly, but it's a picture of it, of how those who live in the household of the one who's in a particular covenant relationship with God come under the covering, the protection, the blessing of that covenant status, that covenant standing, which is why we see whole households being baptized pretty consistently throughout the New Testament. So, and again, there's practical provision of, well, what happens if you eat something that's holy unintentionally? Well, then you have to pay back. And it's the same thing as if you stole it. You add a fifth of its value and you pay it back, because it doesn't belong to you. There are things that belong to God, and there are things that you know, aren't yours. You've given them. They've been dedicated to God. There's provision here made for the type of offering you would bring. This is something that the prophet Malachi calls out the people of God on in the last book of the Old Testament. They had been restored to the land, they had been restored to temple worship, and they were no longer worshiping idols. Idol worship in terms of the Baals and the Molechs and the Asherahs, they were not an issue anymore for God's people. They completely put away those idols. However, one thing that remained an issue is that they would bring cheap, flawed, blemished animals. So they would have an animal that would give birth, and the animal born would have a disease or a blemish or a flaw, and they would say, I don't really want this to become breeding stock. Let's go ahead and offer it to the Lord. God doesn't get our leftovers. God gets the best, right? The best of our time, the best of everything. But also God is holy. And Jesus, the sacrifice, is perfect. So it has to be a male without blemish, because this is that third major purpose of the law, to give us a picture of Jesus in the sacrifice. And so Jesus is not some leftover. He's not some unacceptable cast-off. Jesus is the precious Son of God who is without fault and without flaw. And then the last thing we see in this chapter is that, again, God is driving home the reason for this. Because he is in covenant relationship with his people. We are his. He is ours. We belong to him. That's what it means to be holy. We belong to God. And so if we belong to God, we should keep his commandments and do them. We should not profane his holy name. The sermon from this past Sunday, just go look that up on how we might take God's name in vain, how we might profane his name. It's not just by what we say, but it's also by what we do. We are to be setting apart the Lord as holy in our hearts. That's what 1 Peter says. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Because we are his, and he has made us ours. He's brought us out of the land of Egypt. Our land of Egypt was the slavery to sin, the bondage to corruption, the living in the fear of death. He set us free from all that. All of our sins have been forgiven. All of our corruption is being and will be removed from us. And death is no longer a thing to be feared. It is an entrance into eternal life and paradise with God. So God's brought us out of a much greater land of Egypt. So we are to be his holy people by Christ, by his Holy Spirit living in us, through the sacrifice and intercession of Christ. We are made holy, and so we should live holy lives. Well, that's Leviticus 22. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Write it on our hearts. Help us to live as your holy people, seeing your holiness, seeing our need, and seeing the provision for our need in your perfect Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow we will be back in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 14. Hope you can join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.